What a wonderful, wonderful day it is today. And of course, a lot of people don't realize it unless they follow closely the calendar and the liturgy. But other than being the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, of course, the message of this Sunday in particular is the necessity to give thanks, which most of us forget. But it is a wonderful day because it's the vigil of the Nativity of the Most Holy Virgin Mother of God. Tomorrow is the Nativity of Mary. After the birth of Christ, there is no birth greater, more magnificent, more glorious, more miraculous than the birth of Mary. And so today we rejoice in this great gift to us of God and the Church of this vigil of the Nativity of Mary. In addition, and I don't think it was by accident, His Holiness Pope Leo XIV, now gloriously reigning, has decided for this day to be the day on which he pronounced the first two canonizations of his pontificate. And that one of them in particular is especially interesting and of great importance to me and to this parish, which has for almost 30 years heard about this wonderful, wonderful young man whose pictures are in the foyer and the bulletin board. First of all, it was the canonization of the little 15-year-old Saint Carlo Acutis, and he is one of the patron saints of people who have problems with the computers and the internet. And it's interesting because he is in conjoint patronage with another great saint that lived 1600 years ago, Saint Isidore of Seville, which of course is of great importance to me, because I'm Spanish, and so every time I go to Spain, Seville is a sine qua non. And of course, Seville is a magnificent city. The Cathedral of Seville is one of the most beautiful, beautiful cathedrals in the world. And Saint Isidore, because of his great intelligence, is a patron of the internet and of computers, even though he lived almost 1,700 years ago. So, of course, now he knows about computers, but he didn't then. But he knew, he had a great, great amount of knowledge. The other saint, which of course is very, very important to me, and I thought I would never see this. Of course, I should have been there. I was there for his beatification, sitting with his family. And with the president of Italy, by the way. I was not in the back row or in the piazza where there were 500,000 persons. I was there with the few, right next to the Pope and the altar. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati is today Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. And early this morning, Father Deacon Tanka texted me. And he was so happy, I guess he was up. I haven't seen anything yet. I will eventually. And he was so very, very happy. And he said, "Blessed be Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati." And then he said, "The Mass today was glorious." And then he said in German, because he has some German in him, "It was Lateinisch, Latin. Not like it was in the last 13 years in Italian. We are not the Italian Catholic Church." Even Benedict did that nonsense in St. John Paul II. God bless them, but, you know, I hated it. I was happy to leave. In Latin. Latin is the language of the Church. And if anybody wants to use the Second Vatican Council as an excuse, and by the way, the Archbishop, Marcel Lefebvre, signed every document of Vatican II except one about religious liberty. So don't tell me that it's the council and it's the council's fault. It's people's fault. Bishops and cardinals and priests and religious. It is not the documents themselves. So there are loopholes. And of course, canon lawyers have something to do with that. I know about that too. Nevertheless, in the documents of Vatican II, it says, Latin is the principal language of the Church, and it's the principal language of the liturgy of the Church. Not English or Spanish or Italian or Chinese. Who cares about those? Latin. And so, Father Deacon was very exhilarated because we have not seen this in a long time. But Blessed Pier Giorgio, Saint Pier Giorgio, I'm going to have to get used to that. Who was he? Because I have some leaflets in the back with a very short biography that I wrote about him. And by the way, I have given about 40,000 of those away by my own expense. He was born the son of the senator Alfredo Frassati, the youngest senator in the Kingdom of Italy, and his wife, a very strange woman, Adelaide Frassati, who was an artist, and that, of course, answers for the strangeness. Artists are all very strange. And her paintings were nice, not great, but nice. They were both of them Catholics, but agnostics. Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati never saw his father inside the church, or inside a Catholic church, or inside a mass. Of course, there were no other churches in Italy, especially not then. He was born in 1901, in April, as the bells were ringing for the Easter Vigil, which at that time was at noon, not at night, like we have tonight, which is correct. It should be at night. And he died on July the 4th, which is his feast day. At the age of 24, he died from his charity, and his whole life was a life of charity and joy, generosity. He got polio before the vaccine had been given out. It existed, but it had not yet been given out. He died in 10 days. He caught it from one of the many people that he visited every day to give them money and food and so forth. And when his funeral was held, his parents were just totally aghast. There were over 100,000 persons who came to his funeral. In the meantime, he did so much good. He went to Mass and Communion every day. He got permission. You had to have permission in those days. And even though they were agnostics, parents paid, this is for homeschoolers, tutors, Jesuits, good Jesuits in those days, to teach him. And he and his sister, who was born a year later, Luciana, who was a very dear friend of mine, who's now gone, she died a few years ago at 106. And they learned the faith, they learned Latin, they learned Greek, and of course Italian, proper Dante Italian. And in the meantime, he was able to go to Mass and Communion. And when he was just a young man, around 20, he became a tertiary of the Dominican order. And he chose the name very deliberately after a Renaissance Dominican friar who was, on the one hand, very, very popular, on the other hand, not popular. Fra Girolamo Savonarola. He was very popular because he fought the corruption of the nobility who ruled Florence. And eventually he ended up ruling Florence himself. But on the other hand, he was very unpopular because he wanted to set things right. People who want to set things right are usually not popular. People are going to say, oh, he's such a goody two-shoes, whatever. And he put the criminals in jail, all of them nobles. Nobility is not a cover-all for evil. Many noble people are very evil. Anyway, eventually he got under the tiara of one of my ancestors, Pope Alexander VI, Borgia, who was not a very good person, but he did a lot of good for the church. And unfortunately, this is not one of his feathers in his tiara. He had Fra Girolamo Savonarola burnt at the stake because he was going against the Pope. And of course, it's better not to go against the Pope, even if he's evil. It's better to work underneath, you know. Anyway, that is the saint, not a saint yet, but it's in the process, that Blessed Pier Giorgio, Saint Pier Giorgio, chose to be his name when he became a tertiary of the Dominican order. In the meantime, he was one of the founders of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Italy. And he was also one of the founders, because he was involved in everything, as Catholics are supposed to be involved in everything. He was one of the founders of the Popular Party, which was the ancestor of the Christian Democrats in Italy, to go against the fascists and the communists and everything else that was evil. So his life was very, very full. But he had time, to go to Mass and Communion and to serve Mass. He was an acolyte, to serve Mass every day. In the meantime, he was a great athlete, a mountain climber, and some of his pictures see him on the Alps, you know, and he founded a society for the university students that were Catholic and wanted to follow their faith, I Tipi Loschi, which meant the so-so ones, you know. But he was kidding. He had a very good sense of humor. Saints, I get, like I told you last week already, saints do not go around with a frown. Some people think that to be a saint, you have to go around with your hands folded and your smile upside down. No, saints are happy. Look at St. Teresa of Avila. God does not admit saints with frowns. Saints must be happy. And so he did a lot, as we all should do. We should not claim we have no time. We should do everything that we can. Because one day, you will have no time. One day, God will say, time to go. Now, where are you going to go then? And I'm talking to you. Where are you going to go then? I don't know, and I don't want to know. And you better find out before you die. But Saint Pier Giorgio, a great saint of the Eucharist, of the Blessed Mother. He loved the Blessed Mother. His sister told me many times I would walk into his room and I was able to even sleep on his bed. I would walk into his room and he would be asleep on his knees on the hard marble floor saying the rosary. He said the full rosary every day. He made time, as you are supposed to make time and not make excuses. So, a full life, the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, and charity. If we don't have charity, then all the rosaries and masses we go to are nil and null. Charity is very important. It is the primordial of the virtues. So today we rejoice in the canonization of this wonderful young man who is one of the patrons, along with St. Aloysius Gonzaga, of youth. The patron of youth. And that's how I came to know him. I was just ordained, and I was just a little baby priest. I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, you know, I'm going to have to go to the summer. I told this to St. John Paul II. And I said, I need somebody to give them as an example. And he said, well, do you know Pier Giorgio Frassati? And I said, who? And he said, here. And he told me what to do, what to read, and so forth. And as I was going around finding books in the bookstores of Rome, on Via della Conciliazione, where some of our parishioners are now today, others are going this week, I found many, many books, which I bought, and I met his niece, who's still alive, Wanda Gawrońska Frassati. Her father was a Polish ambassador, and her mother, Luciana, married him. And so today they were all there, you know, but not Luciana. Luciana died a few years ago at 106. She and I became very, very good friends, and the daughter got Luciana, I can't think of her name right now, Gawrońska is a good friend of mine. She's still alive. She was there. And the last time I saw her, she was already in her 80s. She was running around Rome in a motor scooter. So, you know, don't say you're old and you can't do it. She did it. She doesn't do it anymore. I'm sure the police and the doctors have said no more. But a wonderful person. This is the thing. We need to get example from the saints and the people they are surrounded with. Example. So we can follow it. So today is indeed a very, very happy day for me. And, of course, it is for my sons, two whom I have raised with the love and respect of now Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati, patron of youth. May God allow us to be saints like he was, and like that teenager, St. Carlo Acutis. I don't particularly like it because I don't like the way he dresses, but other than that, I like him. They lived their life surrounded by Jesus and Mary and charity. How are you going to live your life? Stop complaining about this, that, and the other. Live your life with charity, with Jesus and Mary, in Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. Oh, the niece's name is Wanda. I forgot for a moment here. And the mother, her mother, Luciana, used to always, because, you know, in English we say Wanda. And she said, no, no, non dire così, è Wanda. You know, saints have fun. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.